And now, a special motorcycle weather report from Progressive.
And today's forecast, expect a steady breeze with 100% chance of twisting down those country back roads gleefully on your motorcycle. Some will want you, others will want to be you, and animals everywhere will yearn for opposable thumbs just to work that throttle like you do. Oh, nature's cruel design. That's your forecast, back to you.
This has been a special motorcycle weather report from Progressive, where every day's a beautiful day to ride with 24/7 roadside assistance from America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Roadside assistance subject to policy terms and limits, and may require comprehensive coverage.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd Starnes out today. He is traveling, so yours truly, Indy Hoosier, filling in today for you again. And so good to be back on the radio waves. Thanks again to Todd allowing me to jump into the seat here in the Liberty University studios, hailing from Wichita, Kansas, as we move those studios slightly for the day today. And what's up, America, is we have a lot to talk about and a heck of a lot to get to. What a world that we live in today, and I want to jump right into it. We don't have a lot of time to waste on these programs, do we? But it is open lines to you, and I want to hear from you at 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. Coming up on the show, bottom of this hour, we have Christina Bob. I know Todd's had Christina on the program a few times as well. She's part of the legal team with the Trump administration, or the Trump team at least, as he's back on the campaign trail. More indictments that are going on. And we'll see her take on the latest January 6th indictments, the cases coming out of Washington, D.C., the legal team that's battling this ridiculousness. And does he have a chance to stay out of jail? So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. Have some guests each hour for you as well. But I have a question for you. And again, you can call it at 844-747-8868. The question for you today is, if Trump is indicted or actually convicted with these charges, do you stop supporting him? And I ask you this because so far on the campaign trail, after every indictment that he's had run up against him and that they've thrown against him, he's continued to gain support. He continues to grow in popularity. Still, three quarters of the Republican Party say that they support Donald Trump. However, at the same time, the latest poll shows that if he is actually convicted of these charges, near 75% of those that support him right now would walk away from him with concerns of having a potential president of the United States sitting in a jail cell. Kind of an interesting thing. So you're supporting him more, but then you'd walk away from him if he ends up getting convicted. So we'll talk about that. On the other hand, though, Democrats, I have to ask you the other question is, do you actually believe anything they say? Now, I know that's a rhetorical question. So let me explain for a second. We know the Democrats and politicians in general, I don't like to use the partisan politics here, but politicians in general, primarily right now, the progressive side of the aisle, really have a hard time selling their agenda. They have a hard time selling what they actually stand for, what they believe in, what they want to see happen in the country moving forward, and to defend the positions that they've been working on for the last 3 years under the Biden administration. And we know that politicians say things that are maybe not the most accurate, or at least not the most genuine while they're on the campaign trail. I mean, you remember Hillary Clinton back in the day having to go and take lessons on how to become relatable to her constituency, and then going on the campaign trail and saying things like this.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
I'm sorry I made your ears bleed there. I'm just as much as you, I am tired of the squawking and cackling of Hillary Clinton. And just like Kamala Harris, she does really well in the approval ratings and the numbers when she's not in the public eye. Everybody's like, yeah, she's kind of great. I love it when she's like not around. And then as soon as she pops up and starts talking again and she's on all the media blasts, and her approval ratings go in the tank and they just drop down bigly, as Donald Trump likes to say.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
So the Democrats right now at least pretend to appeal to their constituency, even though they're not the party of the people. They try to say that they are the party of the people. in regards to the Trump indictment, can we at least pretend, and I'm asking this again to the Democrats and to Jack Smith and those that are running against him on this indictment stuff, trying to keep him off the campaign trail, trying to drain his campaign funds, can you at least pretend to make it a genuine legal case? Can you at least pretend that you're not looking at it from a political lens and that you actually want a legitimate case to be heard on whether he's guilty of colluding with January Sixers to try and interrupt the acts of Congress? Can you at least pretend that you're legitimately concerned about legal things that he has done with his Mar-a-Lago incident and everything else? Can we at least pretend? Because right now, you might want to cover up a little bit your desperation showing, because we're not even seeing the pretendness of them wanting to make this a legitimate legal case. From all the legal experts, and we'll talk with Christina Bob about it here in just a little bit, but from all the legal experts that have been commenting on this, there's no case. There's no case. Like, what are we doing here? What are we trying to ram Donald Trump through except for just draining the campaign funds to fight legal battles, which I think is really dumb anyways, because he's so popular, he doesn't need a whole lot of campaign funds. All he needs to do is travel around the country and get 30,000 people to show up to a coliseum to see him. But now we're seeing Jack Smith, the special counsel from Jack Smith's office, requesting to the judge to have the court hearings and the proposed trial date set for January 2nd. As they say, quote, it does not need to take any longer than 4 to 6 weeks to make this happen, which is a typical Democrat response thing. The fast and furious, don't even look, we need to pass it to see what's in it mindset. It's really just, we need to ram this through before all the details come to light. Let's try and cram it down the throats of everybody and make this happen and make it go away before we realize what's really going on, and we talk to everybody and really do our due diligence and investigation. That happens with media, with actually the lack of journalism and investigative research now. That's with politicians. We need to pass it to see what's in it. That's the mindset of a progressive who knows that they're in the wrong, but wants to do it quickly before anybody realizes. Because with today's social media and technology, we have a way of actually gathering information. I know that's a wild concept for some on the other side, but we have the ability to fact check you. And all the fact checkers in the world on social media cannot keep your hidden agenda hidden for very long. Donald Trump was the genius of that, of breaking those doors wide open, overturning the tables at the chapel, and letting everyone know what's really going on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C. So now we have a trial date that's potentially, or at least being requested by Jack Smith in his office, to January 2nd, saying it would take no longer than 4 to 6 weeks. The evidence is so solid, you don't even need to look at it, man. You just need to ram this through. And then, of course, we see the time date, the schedule of events on how things have kind of progressed throughout this, where conveniently we've seen the releasing and the attack of the indictments against Donald Trump happening literally days after a new piece of information has come out regarding the Bidens. Now, if that's not a red flag for people as well, maybe it's a coincidence. But when it happens like 4 months in a row, with as soon as, oh, hey, we found the IRS whistleblowers coming out against Hunter Biden. Oh, we're going to file new indictments against Donald Trump in Miami. Oh, by the way, we found more information about how much money's been coming into the Biden family that they didn't pay taxes on or file. Oh, yeah, we're going to file charges on January 6th against Donald Trump. We start to realize that no longer do we have a TDS, which is the Trump derangement syndrome that everybody's had for the last few years, but the TDS has changed. It's evolved. It's manipulated itself, so to speak, going from the Trump derangement syndrome to now the Trump distraction syndrome. Let's use Donald Trump as that distraction to get away with whatever the heck we want to, because we don't want to face our own demons. We don't want to look ourselves in the mirror. We don't want people to know what we're doing. So every time bad news bears comes out for the Democrats, let's go ahead and find a way to go after Donald Trump, which is why, for those that know me and know my program, and I appreciate Todd letting me play this on his show because I think it's relatively appropriate right now, we like to come up with our own little products. And I realize that the Democrats, that Jack Smith, that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Hillary Clinton and every other Democrat that gets away with the shenanigans in the world, they've used this product for a very long time, and now it's available for you to use as well. This is my very own Andy Hoosier Trump Dump Temper Tantrum Button.
Hi, it's your Voice of Reason product spokesperson, and if you're like so many others across the nation, you probably lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead in life. It's the normal thing to do, right? The only problem is, if you get caught, they say that you've broken the law. Who knew? If only you had a way to keep the world occupied and distracted so you can keep living your best life that you took from somebody else. Well, now you can. Introducing the Voice of Reason's latest line in personal care needs, your very own Trump Dump Bailout Button. Now, get away with anything that you want by hitting your Trump Dump Bailout Button anytime that you get caught red-handed.
I've been a victim of society my whole life. The rich white oppressors of America have kept me from getting a job, going to school, or even being the gender of my choice. And since no million-dollar opportunities were just handed to me like every business owner out there, I felt that it was my right to go and take what I thought would be mine. I mean, they wouldn't miss a little bit of cash in their cash registers, would they? It's not like they worked for it. After I got caught, they said that I was going to jail. But I just hit my Trump Dump Bailout button. And just like that, I claimed that it was racist Donald Trump's fault that I couldn't afford to live, and they let me go. No questions asked. Thanks, Trump Dump Bailout Button.
Your Trump Dump Bailout Button works for any situation, from robberies and fraud to even murder and treason.
America is just a place for oppression and tyranny. I mean, just yesterday, I got stopped for speeding on the highway. The officer tried to give me a ticket for breaking the law, but I just pushed my Trump Dump Bailout Button and told him it was all Trump's fault for causing climate change, and I needed to hurry and get off the road to lower my carbon footprint. And guess what? He never gave me the ticket.
Some users even say that it works in court.
I got my Trump Dump Bailout Button late. I had already been arrested for using drugs and shooting a gun, but my lawyer gave me my button while in court. As soon as I hit my Trump Dump Bailout Button, and I just told the judge that I was actually Hunter Biden and that I was forced to take drugs because I was so traumatized by Donald Trump trying to take my vote away in 2020. Now I can go sell my kilo without worry of oppression.
Plus, order your Trump Dump Bailout Button now and receive a Trump Trauma Victim Card absolutely free.
My mom said I needed to get a job and move out of the house, but she's just one of those fascist Nazis that work for the evil corporations. So before she kicked me out of the basement and cut off my allowance and video game time, I showed her my Trump Trauma Victim Card and told her that Trump had corrupted my youth and ended any opportunity at life by tweeting horrible things and letting people make personal health choices during the pandemic. I almost died, but now I can focus my time on my Antifa meetings and starting a GoFundMe to fund my life.
Don't let those pesky laws and rules of society get in your way. That's the peasant's way. With your Trump Dump Bailout Button and your Trump Trauma Victim Card, now you too can live your life like a Washington politician or a complete failure. And you can feel good that your life decisions are completely out of your control.
There it is, the Trump Dump Bailout Button. You can now get yours as well, because why not? That's what everybody else is doing. When you get in trouble, just blame Donald Trump, which is the way to do things in today's world, right? Is that what we're supposed to do? Oh, okay. There it is. 844-747-8868. Would love to hear your thoughts. Would you walk away from Trump if he's convicted? And can the Democrats at least pretend that they're doing a legitimate trial here to go after someone with concerns? Or is it nothing but just political? Let's go after him right before Super Tuesday next week. Let's set the trial date right before Super Tuesday, so that way he's focused on trial issues instead of the campaign. And would that actually change the shakeup and the makeup of the elections moving forward? We got to take a break here. Tandy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. We got so much to cover today. We'll do a lot more of it when we come back. Stay here.
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes.
Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Stearns radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Stearns today as he is traveling, heading out to Newsmax, which you'll be able to, by the way, see him on Newsmax, filling in for Greg Kelly tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure to check into Newsmax as Todd is headed out there. Really excited for that program. Until then, you have yours truly right here, Andy Hoosier, hailing out of Wichita, Kansas for the Liberty University studios for the day today. Hopefully you enjoyed our Trump dump bailout button, which, by the way, you can find that on my website at HoosierReason.com. No I in Hoosier, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. Let's go ahead and go to the phones here, shall we? 844-747-8868. As we look towards the elections next year, would you still support Donald Trump? Or if you're not a fan of Donald Trump, if he becomes convicted, would you support him then compared to your thoughts on him now? He continues to grow in support during indictment period, and now he's still dominating the Republican Party by near 75% of vote. However, the latest poll shows, and maybe this is the Democrats' way, the media's way to try and knock him down a few pegs, at least their attempt to do so, that if he is convicted, near 75% of his supporters would walk away and support another candidate. Very interesting one. Let's go to the phone, so let's talk to Michael in the state of Ohio. Michael, what's going on, brother? Hello. Nope. Guess he lost. All right. That's all right. Give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you. 844-747-8868. As Ohio, by the way, is a very special election. Big state there for the swing state. At the same time, they had their primaries this week, or a special election, at least just a few days ago, regarding their Ohio issue number one. And I got to admit, after that election, I am a bit concerned for you guys in the state of Ohio, because that shut down. For those that don't know, issue number one was raising that threshold to do any amendments to the Constitution for the state up to a 60% vote from the people instead of a 50% vote, which would just be a simple Democratic, I say it's a Democratic vote by 51, but it's really the mob rule, because democracy is a mob rule if you get 51%. So they were trying to raise that threshold to say, hey, if we're going to alter the state Constitution, maybe we should raise that threshold just a little bit in the state to that 60%. That got shot down by almost a 60% margin, however. And the vast majority of those that were opposing it were Democrats, with over 3 million people showing up in that special election on Tuesday this week, and almost 700,000 people early voting in the state. Democrats are fired up, man. And as you know, anybody knows that that looks at presidential elections, Ohio is a massively important state. And if the Democrats are fired up, particularly on social issues like presidential races or abortion issues or social issues, which is what they lumped this Ohio issue number one into, then we're in big trouble, and we really need to find a way to rally state Republicans into getting voter turnout a little bit better than what we've seen. But that was a big of a hit in the state of Ohio. We've talked about that the last couple of days, and it's been definitely an interesting conversation there. Regarding Donald Trump and his lack of support, we're also seeing some changes behind the scenes. Now, again, this is early, and I don't like to speculate this early in elections, but at the same time, Ron DeSantis has been falling and working his way downward. The guy that's rising, and I say rise, you know, speculatively here, because it's still a wide range between him and Donald Trump, but is the Vivek Ramaswamy, as he's tied with Ron DeSantis in his own state of Florida, and he's a bit surged in the polls right now nationally to become the second front runner. That is, again, 20, 30 points behind Donald Trump, so you got to put it into perspective here. But he's rising to be that next potential voice. And imagine what his background is. We'll talk about him later on in the program just a little bit. But he's coming in as, again, the outsider, as the millennial, as the entrepreneur and business guy, as the populist, and not necessarily running on a hardline conservative stance, but coming up to be the next big potential quote-unquote face among the Republican Party. And whether that means a potential VP run with Trump, whether that means that if Trump is convicted and somehow people do end up losing support for him, that he could be the front runner. It's early, and if he peaks right now, then he's peaking way early, like a year early than what he actually needs to. But he's making his face known when no one thought he would have a chance early on in this race, which I find quite fascinating. But what we don't know is a lot of his past. And the fact that he wasn't a registered Republican, the fact that he didn't support Republicans in the past overwhelmingly, the fact that he has supported or proposed any type of some high tax against corporations in the past, and he's had kind of a rocky road before. On the same front, sounds like a Donald Trump history as well, when he was a registered Democrat before becoming a Republican. We'll talk some more about him a little bit later. Christina Bob with the Trump legal team coming up right around the break here. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in today for a, can you believe it, it's Friday, man, all the way to the end of the week. The week's a blur, as always, but we're getting you through it, man. Pat yourself on the back. You finally made it. We're just going to carpe diem all over this place, baby. It's what it's all about. Welcome in. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. You can find Todd Starnes at his website, toddstarnes.com. Also, his social media, and follow him all over the place. Let's go right to it here, shall we? We're broadcasting out of the Liberty University studios, and let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, as I'm excited to have on the Todd Starnes program. She's been on his program. She's been on my program as well with the Voice of Reason, but really happy to have on. She's part of the Donald Trump legal team, also author of the book Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Christina Bob with us here. Christina, how are you today?
Hey, Andy, thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to talk to you again and to talk with you. There's a lot going on right now, and it's especially with Donald Trump. We talked about it in the last segment, but every time that there's some news coming out of the Biden family or Democrat shenanigans in general, it seems like there's just a new indictment for Donald Trump. Like, oh my, where did this one come from? Just pulling it out of the magic hat.
Right. It's funny. I have a couple different thoughts on that. Yeah, the timing of it is always very interesting to see how magically the news cycle changes away from Biden's corruption. But on the other hand, it seems like there's something coming out on Joe Biden's corruption every single day, so that the chances that they do something to Donald Trump on the day that would benefit Joe Biden is pretty much like every day. There's just so much information coming out. The odds are pretty good that it's going to help out Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think it is. It's finally going to come out. Now that we heard from Jim Jordan, where he had said that now that they're finally getting some hard evidence, we have the video, we have the audio, we have the text messages, we have the IRS documents, we have hard evidence now that we can actually start pursuing this to the next level. Christina, do you see any type of actual criminal investigation or even an impeachment beginning, or at least an investigation of an impeachment beginning, now that there's really no doubt that this stuff was happening?
Yeah, it absolutely was happening. Yeah, I do think there will be one. I don't think it's going to come while Joe Biden's in office. I don't think it's going to come from this Department of Justice. I think there will have to. So what I mean by that is I think they would have to impeach Merrick Garland first before this DOJ would actually do anything to Joe Biden. I think Merrick Garland is horribly compromised and will not do anything to the Biden family, not to Joe Biden, Hunter, or whoever. Still, I hold out hope. I don't think our nation is lost. I think we are recovering from this horrible corruption in our government. And I think it will happen, but we're going to have to slog through a mess for a little while.
Well, it is unfortunate. I mean, Donald Trump did go in there in the White House before, and he essentially burst the doors wide open, overturned the tables, and exposed it. And the Democrats, and it's not even Democrats, just the quote-unquote deep state, the elites, whatever the heck we want to call them, they are desperate to get back to business and as normal, and it's not working for them, which is why I think all this is starting to come out, isn't it?
You're exactly right. That's why they're indicting Donald Trump. I mean, they don't want to out themselves as the crazy Marxists that they are. You know, they want what they had a few years ago before pre-Donald Trump, where the American people just believed everybody was doing what was in the best interest of the government. And even if there was a little bit of self-interest going on, it was just a little bit, you know, it wasn't anything major, nothing that would impact my life. You know, that kind of Pollyanna approach to our government is gone and they missed that. So I don't think they want to be bringing these indictments against Donald Trump, but they have to, because unless they do something to remove him from the race, not only is he going to be the Republican nominee, but he's going to wipe the table with whoever the Democrat is, whether it's Joe Biden or anybody else.
Yeah,
so
that's
they
true.
Have to do something to try to get rid of him.
Yeah. We're talking with Christina Bobb, part of the Trump legal team, also author of the book Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Let's talk about all the legal battles with the Trump side of things right now. Obviously, the latest one's the big one coming out of Washington, D.C. and this whole January 6th thing. Now, Christina, I'm no legal expert. I don't know about how law works, but I don't know what they're using as evidence to say how Donald Trump openly, willingly, and knowingly told people to go and cause havoc in Congress when I don't remember him saying anything like that before. How are
right.
they presenting
Isn't
this case?
Well, the thing that I think is so interesting about this is they had to plead. They had to write the pleading, the indictment, the way that they did. By claiming that he was lying. So basically, in all four counts, they have to claim that Donald Trump believed he lost the election, but he decided to lie to the American public to get them to believe that the election was fraudulent so that he could illegally seize power. And the reason they had to plead it that way, because, you know, at first glance, I read that and I was like, well, everybody knows Donald Trump believes he won that election. Like, why would they make it so hard on themselves? But I realized that they had to plead that way because if he wasn't lying, if he honestly believed that the election was stolen, he was the president of the United States and he had an obligation to do exactly what he did, which is we file cases in the courts, contact state legislatures, have his team investigate. He had an obligation to protect our constitutional right to a free and fair election. And so they can't charge him with a crime for trying to do that if he believed that it was truly being stolen. So they had to accuse him of lying about it.
Yeah. From the little bit that I know, that it's kind of difficult to prove a negative, isn't it? To say that you right. absolutely know what's going on and that you lied through your teeth to make this happen. I don't know how you prove that.
Not beyond a reasonable doubt, that's for sure. They're going to find staffers to say, I mean, I don't know. I'm imagining what they would do. I haven't obviously seen any witness statements or anything like that, but they're going to find somebody to say, oh, you know, he thought that he lost. But I don't, even that, I don't think is going to pass muster because he has so consistently and publicly been coming out about the rigged and stolen election. He's coined phrases about it. He's held to his story, never wavered, that I just don't think, I don't think it's true. I don't think he ever thought he lost the election. And two, even if they find some little weasel that'll be like, yeah, you know, I think he thinks he lost it. Like, that's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not going to meet the burden of proof. So they have to hope that they get a jury with Trump derangement syndrome where everybody's completely deranged and that they can get a wrongful conviction. That's their play. That's their only play, right?
Well, and that's the big concern, isn't it? I mean, it's in Washington, D.C., yeah. which is one of the more liberal district court areas around. And then we had this judge that it was originally presented to here who was extremely tough on January 6ers, who's been a donor for Obama and for Biden mm-hmm. and has been a big time Democrat who despises Donald Trump. Is that a cause for concern? And shouldn't that, again, be another easy, oh, my gosh, there's liberal bias in the courts. We need to go to a different area here.
Well, I would imagine that the trial team is going to make that appeal. You know, John Morrow's a good friend of mine, and I know that you have to protect every aspect of the case, even if it doesn't get granted. Because quite honestly, I don't think the judge is going to move the venue. But you have to make that request for, you know, to preserve the record for appeal. So I imagine that they will do that sometime in the quite near future. But yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that's why they're bringing it in D.C. And it's funny that they're bringing it in D.C. and saying, oh, everything needs to be done, you know, in the district which the crime allegedly occurred, and quoting the law and saying, you know, D.C., D.C., D.C. But yet in Florida, they're having a grand jury in D.C. continue to hear the case that's in Florida. I don't know if you saw that, where last week or earlier this week, Judge Cannon in the Florida case was like, hey, why are you using a D.C. grand jury? This case is in Florida. You need to be using a Florida grand jury. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. They're trying to say, oh, we don't have to play in the district in Florida. We can do everything in D.C. and just kind of go down to Florida when we have to. But in the Washington, D.C. case, oh, no, no, everything has to be in D.C. We can't change anything. So they're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah, that is very strange. It seems like there's a lot of moving parts in a lot of these different indictments just to keep people confused. And that might be the intent of it as well. I know Jack Smith's office has tried to request that a lot of these hearings and actually the trials begin January 2nd, leading up right into Super Tuesday, which is just openly blatant. Hey, we're not even trying to do this in a proper legal manner where it could take forever like usual court cases do. But we're just going to do this right before election time because that's our motive here.
Right. Not just right before election time, but you have to prepare for trial through the holidays. Like, they're basically like, we're going to ruin everyone's holiday that's involved in this case. Not just Christmas, but, you know, starting today, the rest of your year is ruined. Not taking into account any consideration that courts would normally take into account. And, you know, the prosecutor's like, oh, we're not taking politics into account. Yes, you are. The reason you're jamming it through is because you're trying to interfere with the election. You want all of this done and exhausted before the general election. So, yeah, they're absolutely playing politics. This is political theater. This is not a real trial. It's political theater, and the Department of Justice is hoping that the judge and jury will play along.
Yeah. On the political front of this, do you think that people are recognizing that this is a show and this is political theater? Because right now, at least among the Republicans, Trump's still getting 75% of the support within the party. However, the media is trying to run a story saying that if he's convicted on any of these January 6th indictments, that 75% of those people supporting him now would walk away, which I don't know how we would increase support when he gets indicted, but then walk away when he gets convicted for it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. Nothing they say makes any sense. It's not true. And it's what they're hoping for. You know, they were hoping that all those people would go away when he got indicted. And they don't understand Americans. They don't understand middle America. They don't understand people who actually love this country, who don't live in an elitist bubble. So the Washington, D.C.ers, New York people that run the media apparatus, just can't understand what it means to love this country more than yourself, because to them, this country, including all the people in it, are supposed to be serving them, not the other way around. And so they really just have it backwards, which is why they're wrong on everything, why their predictions are constantly wrong. It's because they can't understand what it means to truly love this country and to put country above self.
Yeah, amen to that. We're talking with Christina Bobb, author of Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Also, the attorney for the Save America Pact for the Trump campaign. Last question for you as we got to let you go, and I appreciate your time very much. But when it comes to a lot of the support for Donald Trump, I know that this is more speculation than anything else, but have you seen any type of slipping of support from the campaign trail, from Donald Trump himself, of just being beat down by this constant indictment? What's your thoughts from seeing it from the inside?
Right. No, it's fueling everybody. Everybody recognizes it for what it is, or at least, you know, those that I'm encountering. And we're getting a lot more Democrat support from what I can see. There's a lot more folks that are like, you know, I was a Democrat, but I don't like this. I don't like what they're doing. And I'm not truly conservative, but I feel like I've been pushed out of my party because I can't support this government overreach and all that stuff. So we're getting a lot more Democrats come over, a lot more independents, and then fundraising seems to be going quite well. It seems to be going quite well, but of course, every indictment costs millions to defend, right? So
sure. Well, that is true. And the more money that he brings in, it's funding the lawsuits, unfortunately. However, I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump just goes to a place and gets 30,000 people at a crowd. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the agenda and the plan that they had to just bankrupt him and drain him going into an election doesn't seem to be working very well.
Exactly. It's not working. And there's nothing they can do to stop him. He is unstoppable. And they're hoping to jam something through, you know, who knows what they want to do. But it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Nothing they have done thus far has worked, and it's not going to work now.
I love it. Christina Bobb, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Christina, keep up the fight. I know you guys are working nonstop around the clock to try and keep this going. It's so important and vital for the nation. So thank you for what you do. We'd love to chat with you again here real soon.
Thank you so much. I'd love it.
Hey, absolutely. Always a pleasure. All right. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. We'll take a break here. Wrap up hour number one. Stay right here. into it. Todd Sarns radio program. Andy Hoosier filled in. Thanks again to Christina Bob coming on the show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. Legal partner for the Save America Pact and part of the legal Trump team for Donald Trump. We have, it's a big battle. They're constant, 24/7, making it happen. Let's go to the phones here, shall we? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Joe in WDUN in Georgia. Joe, what's going on, my friend?
Andy, you're a great American. Enjoying your show. Andy, we've got the greatest lady. Her name is Mallory Staples. She's president of Georgia Freedom Caucus, and she's going all over Georgia helping to elect taxpayer and small business champion. Now, most of our politicians, they pay attention to lobbyists and special interests. But Mallory and the Georgia Freedom Caucus, they're supporting people who put the taxpayers who pay all the bills. They're putting us first. So I just want to tell you that Mallory Staples, remember that name. I think she'll be, in another 10 to 12 years, she'll be president of the United States. She's the best friend of the taxpayers and the small business owners. She's a great speaker. She's beautiful. She's smart. And I think she's just incredible. And I wanted to tell the great Todd Starnes audience about it. And we love the Todd Starnes program down here in LAJ. And y'all just keep up the good work. And Andy, you're doing a great job filling in for Todd.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that very much. And that's great. I love hearing about the Freedom Caucuses making a stand in these states. Georgia, you guys have an amazing movement going on down there. After some of those big gun rallies that you guys had at the Capitol a year or two ago, it's been amazing to see the rising of conservatives in the great state of Georgia. So I appreciate that, Joe, and keep up that fight. It's exciting and frustrating all at the same time with the fact that we have to have a Freedom Caucus in these states. And I'm coming from Kansas. I'm based out of Wichita, Kansas. We have our Freedom Caucus in our legislature as well. And it's great to see a Truth Caucus or a Freedom Caucus come out and try to make a stand. But it's almost a sect within a sect of the Republican Party, isn't it? Because the Republican Party should be the Freedom Caucus. It should just be the party itself. And unfortunately, we've had to kind of marginalize and separate ourselves and split ourselves even more so to advocate for the real conservative agenda of, shocker, limited taxes, shocker, less spending from the government, shocker, more freedom and focus on the private laissez-faire free market society, which is what the nation's supposed to be built upon. So God bless you guys down there in Georgia, and we'll definitely keep an eye on big aspirations there. If they're making that much trend down in Georgia, we'll see some of those names popping up relatively soon. Hey, real quickly before we finish off hour number one here, regarding the Trump indictment stuff, there, MSN trying to mock Donald Trump, but Donald Trump changing his tone a little bit on some of his social media posts by using the words "my opinion" and "what I think" in order to in regards to when it comes to stolen election claims, which I guess makes sense when you're going through a legal battle where they're trying to prove that you are lying. And it's really funny. They say that you're lying because you don't know. What do they say? They've tried to tell Donald Trump that he doesn't know what he's talking about with the elections and that he's wrong because he claimed that there was fraud. Now they're just saying that he's flat out lying. Funny how that change happened, right? Now they want to go after him for lying, even though they know he's not lying, because they've said that he's been a loon the entire last couple of years by claiming that there was fraud and that the election was stolen. Now they were like, well, actually, he doesn't really believe this. He's just lying, although he's been consistent about the whole time. So throwing those words in, strong opinion, what I think about these stolen election claims on his social media, helping out the legal team. But for us, we just kind of chuckle a little bit, don't we? I mean, when did we get to the point in the nation where we have to clarify our opinion? Unless you're actually quoting a fact or a statistic or a number that's like factual things that you can prove, then the fact that we just say something doesn't just make it truth. And we see a lot of fake news out there today, aren't you?
You are fake news.
I mean, that's like me saying that tacos are the greatest food ever, which they are, and anyone that says that otherwise is probably a racist and a bigot. But tacos are the greatest food ever. I have no backing behind that, but they're the best thing ever. And you can't say anything else, or else again,
you are fake news.
Because how dare you question my authority with my my review of foods. That's what we're up against now. If you say something, someone's going to call you a nut because they want to try to disprove you so badly, even though we kind of know what your opinion until we see factual information. What a world we live in. Got a lot more to get to. Hour number two on the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay right here.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed it is. What's up, America? Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes. He is traveling out of the seat today. So, hey, no worries. We got you covered. What's up? Welcome in. Great to have you along today. Todd's actually headed out to Newsmax as he's set to fill in for Greg Kelly today on Newsmax tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure to check out that program. I can't wait personally to watch it. That's going to be fantastic and muy bueno, my friend.
And I think we're going to make it big league.
That's what we do. Welcome into it. Andy Hoosier, yours truly filling in for Todd Starnes on the program today. As always, such an honor and a pleasure to do so. We have so much fun on this show, and you can join it as well at 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868 if you want to join into the show. Bottom of this hour, we're going to be having Joshua Charles. He is a former Trump advisor, former Trump speechwriter. He's a historian. He's an author, talking about cancel culture and how cancel culture is not just affecting society, not just affecting politics, but also affecting the church and for those of faith as well. So we'll have him on the program coming up at the bottom of the hour. I have a question for you again. I like to post questions to you. You know, I like to have a conversation. You and I chit in the chat, sitting across each other from the bar, staring into each other's political eyes as we try to figure out how to save this nation. And the latest question for you that I have is, what is the priority for the Republican Party? What's the priority? What's the agenda? What is our campaign message that we're going into with 2024? We can look at the presidential race and say, is it ending corruption? Is it trying to finish what Donald Trump tried to do if Donald Trump gets the nomination again? Is it focusing on tax issues? Is it focusing on social issues? The LGBTQ thing, the abortion issue? Is it gun rights? What is the priority that drives Republicans to the polls? Because right now I can tell you that the economy is in absolute shambles, which I find hysterical when Democrats try in the media right now, man, they are desperate. They are doing everything that they possibly can to try and say the economy is doing well under what the Bidenomics are, which if you know how Bidenomics, the term Bidenomics actually came to be, it was Republicans criticizing Joe Biden on how bad the economy was. And just like the, let's go, Brandon, I agree with Joe Biden sitting there on national TV during Christmas time, agreeing with people saying what let's go, Brandon, actually means and agreeing with it. He's tried to turn it into a positive. So now the campaign trail for the Biden administration is, oh, look at how awesome this economy is. The latest report, the Consumer Price Index report that just came out yesterday, shows that inflation sitting at 3.2% for the month of July, higher than what expectations were. But the media trying to say that's really not that big of a deal. It's totally okay. Don't worry about it. These aren't the droids you're looking for. The latest news report from CBS News earlier today.
Government data out Thursday shows consumers actually paid prices that were 3.2% higher in July than a year earlier, and up a mild 0.2% from June. But underneath that banner,
we saw a lot of things come down more than analysts had hoped for. This is good news.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, driving that July increase, housing costs, which rose 0.4%, up 7.7% from a year ago. But analysts say even those figures are lagging.
Rents nationally, on average, are lower than they were a year ago.
Core prices, which exclude food and energy, are still heading in the right direction. And that could help convince the Federal Reserve to pause on additional rate hikes next month.
Yeah, there you go. So the inflation's up 3.2%. They were expecting it to be 3-ish. It's at 3.2, so not too bad. It's still moving up, but it's not really as bad as what we really think it is. The first time in 12 months, by the way, that it actually was on the climb. We really wanted it 2%. It's at 3.2. That's close enough. It's only a number, right? And then, oh, by the way, even though inflation's up, then rent and housing is actually down a little bit, so it's getting more easier, getting better for you to find living conditions across the nation if you're trying to buy a home or trying to rent or trying to, you know, just expand or do what you do. So don't look at the bad inflation numbers. Just look at the awesome stuff that living expenses are down a little bit for homes and shelter and those sorts of things. The twisting up of the pretzel, man, they're desperate for it. Because I asked this before, a 3.2 inflation rate, what does that actually mean? Like, what is that's year over year. Okay, what did we do the year prior to that? Like, where's the line on what inflation actually means on where it is? Because show of hands, I'd really love to see this. How many of you listening to the Todd Starnes radio program right now, how many of you have seen a 20% increase in your salaries over the last 3 years? 15%. How many of you have seen a 15% increase in your salaries? I know that there are some unions out there, and don't get me started on unions. There are some unions out there, manufacturing unions, labor unions, that are advocating for 10, 15, 20% bumps in pay over the next few years to try and compensate. That's awesome. Guess what? You're the only ones getting it. Because no one else, as far as I'm aware, I have not seen a 10, 15, 20% pay increase in my salary over the last 3 years. But when you look at from the time that Biden has taken office to now, a three-year period, we're sitting at almost 20% inflation. So they don't like to throw that number out. I get that inflation's going to happen marginally every single month, every single year. Things are going to slowly increase. But give me a break, man. When we're looking at 20% over a three-year period, we can't keep up. And they continue to just, again, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Just put the glass over our eyes, put the blinders on like the horse, and lead us down the trail because, well, the Bidenomics is working. We've created 13 million new jobs under the grand economic plan. You want to know what that economic plan is for Joe Biden? He's told us. He's told us exactly what that plan is.
So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who runs the brings out the carts on a forklift. What happens? They make you management.
I mean, hey, you know what? There is not a better economic plan than that, right? Thank you, Joe Biden. We appreciate that. All right. So while they continue, I mean, that was CBS News earlier. NBC did the same thing just earlier as well about how great this is. And while inflation's a little bit higher than what was expected, you know, we got some good things going on with the economy, too.
Now, economists had expected this number. And by the way, this is the first time we've seen an uptick in this yearly rate in over a year. But you have to think about kind of what we're measuring here. It's, again, yearly figures, not to get into the data here, but you're thinking about peak inflation from June of last year. Now we're not measuring from the peak anymore, which might explain why we're seeing this a little bit of a higher figure. But again, economists had expected this, not yet mission accomplished, because economists say where we really want to be is 2%. So inflation is still very uncomfortable for a lot of Americans out there.
That was the NBC morning show just earlier today. So we have the media. Yeah, it's really high. It's a little bit higher than expected, higher than what we wanted to, but things are doing well. Don't worry about that. Don't forget that things are okay and everybody's living that dream and we've created all these jobs. If we are seeing an increase in the amount of people getting jobs, it's probably because we have to get that second or third job just to compensate for the inflation. Because if you're having to pay $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a year just to maintain the same lifestyle as right now, then we have a serious problem. Now, that's not to say that we also can't look at personal financial choices and trying to get out of debt and not using credit cards. There's other programs that tell you about how to be financially responsible, and you can go and listen to those on how to do that, because I need to work on that myself with my $40,000, $50,000 of student loan payments I'm still making. Why, oh, why did we end those student loan forgiveness programs? Gosh, how dare you make me pay the stuff back that I signed up for? How dare you, man? Which, by the way, they're using as well. If you do have a student loan, you might notice that the variable rates on your student loan have gone up because interest rates have gone up from the Federal Reserve, meaning that the same administration that's telling you the economy is doing well and we have to raise interest rates to try and lower inflation rates, which is really stupid because, you know, we could actually do a wild thing like stop printing money or stop spending money. I know it's a wild concept, not something government knows how to do, but that's also another opportunity for us to actually lower inflation, is not printing money and injecting it into the economy and creating a bubble that will burst at some point. But instead, no, we have to raise the inflation rate to really just price you out of the market. But because they raise those prime rates, then you might also know that your mortgage rates, if you have a variable rate, have gone up. Student loan payments with the variable rates have gone up. So while the economy is doing oh so well, we're now paying more on our debts. Credit card rates have gone up. You're paying more on your debts just to survive. And then on top of that, trying to pay for the prices of goods. Seems like a great economy for the Biden administration, right? Almost a 30 to 40% increase in food across the nation just alone. Look at gas prices right now. I mean, how many people are just having a hard time putting gas in their vehicle? I applauded one news outlet a few days ago because they at least admitted that one person at least interviewed somebody on the street who said they were having a hard time to decide whether they were going to buy food or put gas in their car to get to work. to be able to try and buy the food later. That's a bad situation. They tried to use that same argument when they were pushing Obamacare, when they were like, oh, well, people are having a hard time to decide whether to put food on their table or get their pharmacy pills, and therefore we need Obamacare to centralize the healthcare system and consume a sixth of the entire economy. Now they use that argument against themselves, like, well, I don't know whether to get to work with gas in my tank or to stay home and try and get food on my table. I don't know what to do here. The success of the Joe Biden economy. So the question is, again, at 844-747-8868, is what is the stance of the Republican Party, and is this the issue that we focus on? Because I got to be honest right now, I'm not seeing that as the actual priority for the Republican Party. We're focused on the corruption of the Bidens. I think that's necessary. We're focused on the social issues, which we'll get to in a second, because that seems to be the priority for the younger generation of Republicans, where they're not wanting to focus as much on the economy. What is that actual priority? 844-747-8868. We have some calls on the line. Let's go to Tarek in Memphis, Tennessee, on KWAM. Tarek, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, man.
Good. What's going on, brother?
Yeah. Well, you were talking about what needs to be done if Trump is reelected. I think that they should really focus on trying to get the deficit reduced and trying to balance the budget.
Mm. That is the priority. I agree. That needs to be a priority. Now, unfortunately, and we have to be completely transparent here, that the budget and spending did go up under the Trump administration. Now, I'm not including during the COVID-19 pandemic when we sent a whole bunch of bailout money and closed the entire economy down that was forced upon Trump by Democrats, but we did end up spending more money during the first part of the Trump administration as well. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of motivation for Republicans to literally say, enough is enough. We're not going to spend a penny more. And I don't care if it shuts down the government. And, Tarek, as you know, I mean, we just saw a couple months ago this argument of the debt ceiling. We need to raise the debt ceiling or we're going to default on our debts and we're all just going to die in the streets and it's going to kill everybody because we don't know what else to do here. I mean, that's...
We're all going to die because of you!
That's what we heard for the entire month of June unless we raise that debt ceiling. And all Republicans wanted to do was say, hey, let's cut some spending to try to appropriate that to get us into the next budget cycle. What we ended up with, even with Republican support, was an entire new bill that increased the debt by $4 trillion in spending for the next 2 years and then tried to cut a little bit of money over a 10-year span and like, well, I guess we did our agenda. So you're right. We need to balance our budget and get our spending under control, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of appetite for that right now.
Well, I think a lot of people are concerned about this deficit, and there are a lot of Americans out there that are concerned about trying to get the budget balanced. You know, so I think it's a big deal because when you think about you know, your kids and my kids and what they have to what they're going to be left with when we're gone, this deficit is going to be around. So it's going to be around for a long time if something is not done about it. But another thing that I wanted to talk about briefly was the fact that these indictments that, you know, before it's all said and done, I think this case could very well end up going to the Supreme Court. And the reason why I say that is because when you think about it, this federal judge, she was appointed by Barack Obama, and then this U.S. attorney, he was appointed by Merrick Garland, was appointed by Joe Biden. Yeah. And you can take in under consideration that it's going to be held in Washington, D.C., and that the jurors could very well be selected out of the D.C. area, that Trump is not going to get a fair trial. And so in order for him to have any chances of being acquitted of these indictments, I think that this whole case should be reviewed by the Supreme Court, and it should be examined thoroughly by the Supreme Court. And in order to level the playing field, I think that they should really consider taking this federal judge off of this case and replacing her with someone who's as equally qualified.
Yeah.
And
Tara, I hate to cut you off there, brother. I know we got to take a break here for a second, but it's a great point, and you're right. He's not going to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C., and I would like to see it go up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, the negative part of that is that if we take it to the Supreme Court as well, then it's going to drag out these cases a lot longer and go deeper into election season, as opposed to hopefully being able to get a rational judge that's not politically biased in some way, shape, or form, being able to throw it out like it needs to be and have things get back to normal, and that would be ideal here. Tarek, I appreciate the call, brother, very much so, and you can make some great points. We'll do some more of that when we come back here. Got to take a break. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. I want to tell you about Todd's friends here at Patriot Mobile. As you know, now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. It's tough to do with a segregated economy that we're seeing right now. But Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it as well. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you actually care about. Do it now. Switch to Patriot Mobile and use promo code Todd and get your free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers as other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders and heroes, as well as the multi-line users as well. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. All you got to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and a free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit them online, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. It's Patriot Mobile. All right, we got just about a minute or so here before the bottom of the hour break. I went a little long in that last segment, so I apologize for that. We have some callers on the line. Don't hang up, because I want to give you plenty of time to talk. I don't want to cut you off short by giving you too short of amount of time, so don't go anywhere. And we'll get to you here soon. Also, right around the corner, we're going to talk with Joshua Charles. He's a historian, author, former speechwriter for the Trump administration as well. We'll talk about cancel culture and some of the priorities from the younger generation. As he's a millennial, I'm a millennial. I know, younger generation trying to take over here in some way, shape, or form. But what are the priorities of that Republican Party? Bleeds right into it. Is a lot of the younger generation now sees the social issues as the bigger priority. And I'm glad we're starting to address it. Not to take away from economic issues, as the economy still needs to be a bit of a priority, obviously, with the disastrous economy we have right now under the Bidenomics. But I don't know if you remember, there was a book a few years ago called Reclaiming Conservatism, that, and I don't remember the author of it. I have the book at home. They literally argued that Republicans and Christian conservatives especially were needing to step away from those social issues. Because it doesn't look good, it's hard to debate, you guys need to walk away from that and focus straightly and strictly on economic issues. And while the economy is kind of our bread and butter, to allow the economy to grow and let the country grow and do our thing, doesn't mean that we need to turn away any type of discussion or debate regarding social issues. What's that priority need to be going into the next year? We'll do some more of that here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in, lots more to get to. Stay here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd Starnes out for the day. He is traveling, heading out to Newsmax. You can see him tonight on the Greg Kelly Show on Newsmax. You can see that 10 p.m. Eastern time as Todd's getting ready for that. He'll be back on the radio waves on Monday. I keep forgetting it's Friday. I got to be honest. It's been such a blur this week. I keep forgetting that it's Monday. So Todd is out today on his travels. You can catch him on Newsmax tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm Andy Hoosier. I hail out of Wichita, Kansas, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita today. You can find my stuff at HoosierReason.com. Also, my social media at Hoosier Reason. Again, no I in Hoosier, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. And on all my handles on social media, also at Hoosier Reason, which, by the way, I guess I didn't even mention this before. If you're on the line with the phone calls, we'll get to you back in just a minute. You can also go on to the video feed or the Facebook feed on Todd Starnes' Facebook page, and you can comment there. I am watching it. I did check it out, so welcome guys on there as well if you are checking out the social media and the video stream that way. Glad to have you along for the ride there. Let's shift gears a little bit. I do want to get back to the priority of the Republican Party, and this fits right into it. But the priorities of the Republican Party, conservatives in general, seem to be changing just a little bit. As we talked about how bad the economy is while the Biden administration's running on the Bidenomics, because he's got a grand economic plan, remember.
So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift. What happens? They make you management.
I mean, I don't know how you can get a better economic plan than that one, right?
I'm special!
Yeah, there is that. All right, let's shift gears, because outside of economic issues, what's been the priority for many younger conservatives? Because have no fear, us millennials are here. So on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, excited to have on the program to talk about some of those and the ongoing battle that we have, cancel culture, that's not just affecting politics. That's not just affecting your daily life, but really just society in general, even our faith, even our values when we look at the church in general as well. Happy to have on the program, formerly with the Trump administration. He is a millennial as well, best-selling author, historian, researcher, international speaker, and more, with his book that's coming out soon, Persecuted from Within. Happy to have on the program, Joshua Charles. Josh, how are you, my friend?
Good. Thank you, Andy. I heard you're out of Wichita. I did my undergrad at the University of Kansas. So
no,
I'm from
kidding.
California, but Kansas is like an adopted state for me. So
wow, that's a bit of a change there, isn't it? From California to Kansas. That's kind of two opposite
it's
ends
a long
there.
Story. It's a long story.
Well, welcome aboard. We love having additional Kansans on as well. What a crazy time we live in, isn't it, Josh? I mean, the cancel culture now really means if anybody feels offended by their emotions and all of a sudden you have to stop being who you are or stop doing what you do because you need to be shamed, probably destroyed, and make sure that you can never have a voice again because you've hurt somebody's feelings. It's a weird place we live in today.
Yeah, no doubt. And I saw the glimmerings of this when I was in college. I graduated from KU in 2010. And thank you for bringing up the book. Actually, it was written by me and a former White House colleague. We were both speechwriters. And it's called Persecuted from Within, How the Saints Endured Crises in the Church. It'll be out in October. And basically it talks about both of us are Catholic. We were both raised Protestant, but became Catholic. And it profiles a series of 11 saints who were severely persecuted from within the church and how they dealt with that and the attitude they had toward it. And we both came away from it, we hope edifying. We hope the result is edifying for many other people, because we saw that these great souls were both fighters in many ways, but they were also willing to suffer like Christ did, and in a way that produced profound holiness and grit, frankly, fortitude under great fire and under great pressure, which I think is an example many of us will need for the times we're in.
Yeah, it is definitely a test of will, I think, in today's times to be able to survive. Talk about the Catholic Church. Now, I am not Catholic. I'm Christian, but I'm not Catholic, so I don't know much about what's going on internally within the Catholic Church. But from what it seems, the headlines that I see about the Pope and some of the comments about some Catholic leaders is that we have seen a bit of a politicizing of the Catholic Church, many of the leaders and some of the stances that they've taken, that's really, I think, divided the church in a lot of ways, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, and one of the things that you'll see throughout the last 2,000 years of Catholic history is you'll see things like that all over the place. And so, in many ways, it's not new, but also in many ways, I do think we're getting to a point that is very divisive. And we're in a post-COVID world. I've said for a while, I think we're in kind of it feels like a permanent fog of war. It feels like people's trust in all sorts of institutions, including many in the church, is collapsing. We certainly know that with our government. But again, this was where there's a deep and profound mystery in the midst of suffering. One of the Catholic doctrines that is pretty distinctive is this idea of redemptive suffering. And the idea is that when we willingly bear suffering for love of God and love of neighbor, that it does have, it's not, of course, like Jesus' suffering. That's the only suffering that saves us, saves our souls. But it's a suffering that by it, we can contribute to the salvation of the world. We can, you know, it can contribute to the power of our prayers. You know, James saying, you know, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so what we see in these saints is that, we often think about when you become a Christian, you're just getting persecuted by the world. Well, that's not entirely true. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is not only persecuted by the world, those who are outside his ring of followers, he's also persecuted from within, which is where we get the name of the book. He's persecuted by his own brethren. You know, he's persecuted by Judas. He was left by Peter, and only one disciple remained with him, St. John and Our Lady and a few women. They were the only ones that stayed with him at the cross. And so this great mystery of suffering is very important to the Christian faith. And when Jesus says, you got to take up your cross and you got to suffer with me to get to heaven, that's kind of what these saints live out. And so that's why we, you know, it seems like it's a sucky message, but it's really a message of hope. It's like, wow, think of how transformative that is in world history, that all the menial suffering and, you know, the curse of the Garden of Eden, all of a sudden after the cross of Jesus Christ, it becomes a means for our salvation and obtaining eternal reward in heaven. It's a profoundly beautiful thing.
Yeah, it very is. Let's talk about our generation for a second. I'm same way. I'm 34 years old, part of that evil millennial generation, and I apologize for our generation every single day. No, I did not partake in the Tide Pod Challenge or other ridiculous social media yeah. challenges, but our generation has seen a massive drop-off in those that do partake in church. And I have to admit, while I have my very strong faith, I haven't gone to church in a very long time, just because I, you know, try to find the right one. And the one that you feel right in, or that you like the message that's being there. But a lot of our generation likes to go to ones that just make them feel good instead of just feeling what's actually needs to be said. And a lot of them just don't go in general, or we're seeing a lot of faith drop off in the younger generations, maybe because it's the size of government, which we'll get into in the second. But have you seen the same thing? Have you seen a struggle or a decline in those that are faith-based or going to church on a regular basis from the younger generations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say a good number of people I knew in my college and high school days or who were Christians in one way or another are no longer. And not all of them. There's a good chunk that have remained faithful to one degree or another. But yeah, and I think it's multidimensional why it's happening. But one of the things I think is majorly contributing is family breakdown. You know, the family is the fundamental nucleus of society. You know, as I joke, family is the place where you learn how to put up with people who annoy the hell out of you. if you don't learn how to get along with people in your family, it's no wonder that so many people are struggling so much to get along in society. Because
do you think that's by design?
Get along with people who you love. How are you going to get along with people who you can't love? And so, yeah. So I think family breakdown plays a big part of it. When you know, my parents divorced when I was 24 years old in 2012. And, you know, they have a good relationship now, and there's been a lot of healing, but it was a profoundly dislocating thing. It's like your whole sense of home goes away. And so there's always this place in your mind and your soul that is home, but that forever changes after a divorce. And many of our generation have had divorced families. And so, and it doesn't appear to be getting any better with Gen Z. And so this profoundly dislocates people. It leads to a lot of insecurity. We know it leads to higher rates of drug use, suicide, all sorts of social dysfunction. Now, when it comes to the church, you know, Christians, you know, I became Catholic, and I think there, you know, there are some Protestants out there who give much more solid answers to things. But in general, I sometimes do think an anti-intellectualism has taken over large parts of American Christianity, where people's serious questions are not taken seriously. They're kind of dismissed, or they're given very shallow answers. And so I do think that's part of it as well. The third factor, I think, would be, you know, sin is easy. I mean, I have yet to see a single example of somebody going left wing or, and I don't mean that in a strictly partisan sense per se, but left wing on things like abortion, on marriage, on all sorts of things. I've yet to see a single example of that left wing or leaving Christianity without, as we say in the Catholic Church, six commandment sins. That's the commandment to not, you know, commit adultery. So sins related to sex. In almost every case, I've seen below the belt sins involved, either wanting to justify it for themselves or justify it, you know, in somebody they love. And so, so those three factors I think are huge. I think many people maybe in their 50s and 60s today potentially vastly underestimate the impact pornography has had on our generation and succeeding generations. I have dear friends of mine, my own beloved mother is a public school teacher now of almost 25 years. And the changes they've witnessed over that time, just the changes they've witnessed since the advent of smartphones and, you know, kids having constant access to social media, it's astounding. It's astounding. And much of it stems directly from being exposed to pornography at an earlier and earlier age. So you have the whole imagination of countless kids in these generations being totally and completely warped. Because when your imagination with regard to sex is warped, your imagination with regard to people is warped because you're habituated to, you know, seeing people as objects for your pleasure, for your, as people as instrumental, you know, as instrumental for your purposes, yeah, rather than goods in and of themselves to be loved for God's sake. So those would be the three factors, you know, not having good intellectual answers from Christians, family breakdown, and I think just in general, the attraction of sin, especially as it's been, you know, we've been, the path has been cleared by pornography, the widespread use of pornography.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We're talking with Joshua Charles, author of the book Persecuted From Within. You can find the pre-order on Amazon and other places as well. Go and check it out. Make sure to get it before the release in October. Last question. We got just a couple minutes left here, Josh, as we wrap up. But you mentioned all three of these things. Do you think that's by design? The family values, the family unit being one of the most strongholds that we have that's held us together as a nation, being able to raise a child with a mother and a father, the feminine and the masculine together, being able to teach them softness and the hard work and the protection all at the same time, breaking that apart through a lot of these social programs right now, or a lot of these social issues that men are actually women and women are better than men at what men do. And we just kind of confuse everybody's roles in society. Not that there's really a role, but just how we complete each other as opposed to trying to compete against each other. Is that by design, do you think?
Oh, I think there's definitely an element of that. I mean, again, human sin, I'm sure we agree, is very powerful. It can draw people into all sorts of things. And we know from Romans 1, at some point, God just lets people have their own way. You know, as C.S. Lewis said, there's two people in this world, those who say, God, your will be done, and the other to whom God says, have it your own way. And so there's some of that. But yeah, I actually just released another book called The War of the Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization. It was actually published in 1885 by a Catholic priest, and it was about Freemasonry and occultism. And it basically outlines all the church's warnings about the designs of Freemasonry and various occult societies to basically de-Christianize the West. And one of the agenda items, I mean, several are very important. They wanted to make divorce laws way, way easier. They wanted to totally secularize education. And they, in fact, did want to demoralize, meaning make the population less moral. And the reason why is because an immoral population is easier to control. And the reason for that is very simple. If you're constantly doing what your conscience knows is wrong, you're much more likely to obey a tyrant who has no right to command you in a particular matter. So, yes, I 100% believe that the demoralization, the spreading of degeneracy in the population at large, there's definitely a planned element to that, no doubt.
Yeah, it's a definitely interesting conversation, and it's a way for us to get back on track by first, like we always say with addicts, is to recognize the problem before we can begin to address it, and it's time to recognize what's really going on in society. Persecuted From Within is the book. Go and check it out. Pre-order it on Amazon, other websites as well, as it comes out in October. Joshua Charles. Josh, we appreciate the time.
Thank you very much,
my friend. We got to do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, you betcha. Great conversation. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get ready to wrap up this hour of the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up right around the corner. Stay here. Welcome back into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes today. Thanks again to Joshua Charles coming on the program. Interesting conversation. Again, former speechwriter under the Trump administration, historian, author, and one of those crazy millennials here to try and change the narrative for the young generation. Let's go to the phones here, shall we? If you want to jump in, you can. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Charles on the line. Been waiting for a while. Charles, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
So, you bet.
We're asking the question, what should the main theme of the Republican Party be in 2024? And I think it needs to be several things, but primarily I think it needs to be the economy. And I think the Republican Party needs to focus on the millennials, Gen Z, and in particular suburban women. So how do they do that? Well, first, you remind them of how good we had it 4 years ago under Donald Trump, with low inflation, with low interest rates. And you contrast that to where we are now with record inflation, high interest rates. And, you know, the average mortgage on a $400,000 home because of increased interest rates has gone up about $800 a month. And these Gen Zs and millennials are just being priced out of the market. And they're being left to a life of dependency on the federal government for housing, for their health care, for everything. And I think the Republican Party needs to stress economic issues and teaching people how to be financially independent, financially literate, and how to be less dependent on the government. And I think that would be a winning message. I also think we need to focus on energy independence and moving away from these renewables such as wind and solar and embracing what we have right here underneath our own shores, which is oil, gas, and developing nuclear energy. I think we need to emphasize safety for suburban women by securing the border, by cracking down hard on crime. And lastly, I think we need to have to tackle this culture problem by the government, the federal government, and the Department of Education defunding schools that are promoting this lie of transgender. And we need to be promoting truth and Western civilization, Judeo-Christian Western civilization.
They're all great platforms, Charles. I agree with a lot of that. The big question that we have to figure out, I think, as a party is while we promote all of these ideas, we have to, number one, lead by example to show how it works. And like you said, economically, I'm right there with you. As you know, I mean, I'm an economic dork. I love talking about inflation, the economy, and government spending and expose the craziness that they do. The question is how do we bring emotion to that? And what I mean by that is Democrats are very good at getting people emotionally riled up, usually by kind of a lower mindset, a fear, paranoia mindset of look how bad other side is. We're going to take care of you. Don't worry. We'll be your nanny state. We're the government. We're here to help. And that's how we have to try to approach this as well. There is a new stat that shows that my generation, the millennials, are slowly starting to move more conservative. And it's because now they're finally leaving their parents' basement and trying to get out in the market. And like you said, it's harder to actually go and find an apartment, to buy a house, to live life, because we have massive amounts of student loan debt that they told us we had to get into in order to survive in society, to be able to flip burgers at McDonald's, and then we can't afford anything else while the inflation and interest rates and everything else go up. I think they're experiencing it by themselves, getting that real life taste of the real world, and I think that's going to wake them up the most. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Welcome into it, America. What's up? It's a Friday. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd out for the day as he is traveling on the road again, heading out to New York for Newsmax. He'll be filling in for Greg Kelly on Newsmax tonight. Don't miss that episode because it's going to be outstanding, as they say.
And I think we're going to make it big league.
Make sure to check that out. It's at 10 p.m. Eastern tonight on Newsmax. Todd will be on there. Yours truly, Andy Hoosier, filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program today, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, where I hail from. And it's great to be back with you again. Such an honor. So much fun. I can't believe that we've flown so much time by already for the first couple of hours on the program. 844-747-8868. If you want to jump into the show, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll continue some of our conversations that we've had so far. Bottom of this hour, really happy to have on. She's a great guest that I've had on my radio program for a long time. A great investigative journalist with The New American, Rebecca Terrell, which you can find her content at thenewamerican.com. She has her latest piece on biolabs coming out of California, how they're tied to China. Did anybody else miss that? Anybody else miss how Trump did China? We'll talk with her about how those biolabs in California are tied with China and the latest GMO in mice and the COVID-19 pandemic and a heck of a lot more. So we'll look forward to chatting with her at the bottom of the hour. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. Until then, however, Charles, our last caller at the end of last hour, brought up some interesting points on the question that we've had, which is what should be and what is the Republican platform? Because I got to be honest right now, the Republican Party hasn't quite established their platform for this new election. Now, in my opinion, the Republican Party needs to do what they do best, or what they could do best if they'd actually prioritize it and focus on it, which is focusing on the basics. I use the three pillars of conservatism: the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to private property. And every political flavor of the day, the sexy issue of the day, falls under one of those categories on where we should stand on the issue. Does it preserve somebody's life? Does it preserve somebody's liberty to live that life in the best way possible for equal opportunity, not equal outcome, but equal opportunity? And does it preserve their private property? And private property does not just mean the body, which is what some say with like the abortion issue, but it's their property, either their home, their land, their valuables, or even the stuff that they create when they build something. That is their property. They've put part of their soul into that item. It is something that they cherish. And when we sell it in a free market, on a as a retail store, or sell that product to a consumer, we price it at the proper level. We do it to where they get compensated the proper way. And that doesn't matter whether you're a manufacturing, whether you work in a factory. You've built that. You've put your blood, sweat, and tears and your time and effort into something like that. And therefore, that is part of your private property where you should be compensated for it as such. Life, liberty, and private property. Very simple. Three tiers, three platforms of conservatism that we live by. And no matter what issue goes on, Republicans need to stay as a positive campaign, because all we got to show is, hey, we have the alternative. So when we can debate one-on-one with a Democrat in front of someone who's actually truly open-minded, I'm not talking about those that are on the other side that are like, I'm totally open-minded except for those evil Republicans. Like, when we actually truly have free market laissez-faire capitalism, when we have true dialogue and debate without censorship, without shadow banning, without cancellation, we always win the debate, because we're about equal opportunity, not equal outcome, and making sure that people have that opportunity. The progressives, I don't like to use parties because there's many Republicans on that side as well that believe that. The other side, the progressives, they're all about the equal outcome, not the equal opportunity. They want to sink massive amounts of money into the education system in the inner cities, nowhere else, which is why you see rural school districts all over the nation struggling just to stay open. My daughter's school district this year actually went to a 4-day school week. She's starting next week. Can you believe that? 4 days? Really? You're supposed to extend the day to cram more in so that way you can have an extra day off during the school year. That's kind of strange to me. By the way, she's going into the fourth grade. I cannot believe that, because she's already 9 years old. Blows my mind of how quickly she's growing up. And she's growing up in one of those trying to survive, because all of the money at your Department of Education across the nation at a statewide level, all going to the big schools. Everybody's consolidating there. And you can see how well that the graduation rates, the test scores, everything's doing within those public schools in those large cities. But the ones that are actually getting you ready are the ones that are closing, the ones that are struggling. And then for some reason, the progressives like to cut out and say, no, we don't like school choice. We don't like voucher programs. We don't like opportunities for them to go somewhere else to create competition in a market like education to actually get a better education. So that way they're prepared to either go on to higher education or even go to a trade school and get right into the workforce, which you can make a lot of money about and not have to worry about $50,000 of student loan debt, which I'm currently still trying to pay off on mine. There's so many things that we can focus on and give the opportunity. They don't want that. They want to cap the opportunity and just give the equal outcome. I know that you put years in to become a lawyer. I know that you put years in to become an engineer. I know that you put years in to study for your specialty of whatever flavor that may be. But, the inflation, the way we spend money, that's our fault, meaning the government. It's our fault. We spent more money. We printed more money. We're ruining the economy. Now these people can't live, so we just got to give them $15 an hour. It's a very strange world that we live in on that mindset. But the future of the Republican Party needs to be that focus from that younger generation, because right now, I got to admit, the leaders of really both sides of the aisle, not really appealing to the younger generations. Again, I'm 34. I'm part of that millennial group, unfortunately. I'm terribly sorry, and I apologize for that. But right now, we're seeing 80-year-olds and 81-year-olds that are struggling to just be coherent in Washington, D.C., I don't know if you saw, after Mitch McConnell's freeze that he had at the press conference just a week ago, he was back at home in the district that he's in, or in the state of Kentucky, trying to talk. And he was at the Fancy Farms picnic out there in Kentucky, trying to just do what he normally does. And again, this is the establishment, the elites that are just trying to go with the flow. Let's get back to normal. Donald Trump's behind us. We can just do business as normal and continue to hold that reign of power. And it wasn't quite working out well for Mitch McConnell.
I just told David Beck his introduction is longer than my speech.
That's funny.
Elaine and I are really excited to be back at Fancy Farm.
By the way, these are protesters just losing their mind over him. Republicans, mind you.
Republican team we've ever run in our state. For those of you who keep count, this is my 28th fancy farm. My 28th fancy farm.
All right, so that was behind the scenes. That was them chanting, lost the Senate, because obviously not sinking the right amount of money into the right districts to win, where we could have won Arizona. We could have won a few other states, actually gotten a majority. But Republican leadership as it stands right now seems like they want to be the loud, outspoken minority group to complain about the things that are going on, but not actually be there to solve the real issues. They went on, by the way, too, because they were like, you just need to retire, dude. You need to go.
You're up against the folks who gave you record high inflation. We're up against folks who closed schools and then told you that teachers' unions know what's best for your kids. We're up against folks who'd rather let repeat offenders.
I think that's kind of hilarious, honestly. So the Republican Party needs a bit of a branding upgrade right now with some younger generation individuals, which I think is happening. We also need to clean out some of the quote-unquote establishment rhino Republicans that have brought us down. And we need to get, which is very difficult, and this is not going to happen. This is more of a pipe dream and dream for me. But we need to get the ego out of the politician as well for those like, I don't know, Liz Cheney, who thought she was there to save the day from Donald Trump, which we did do a major victory there by booting her out of her district with a near 60% disapproval rating and booting her, you know what, out of the state of Wyoming as a congresswoman after her going after Donald Trump. We had John McCain, who, God rest his soul, refused to give up his seat with brain cancer, for crying out loud, and didn't want to give up his seat because he despised Donald Trump so much. Now we have Mitt Romney that could be up for the stake, as he's been an extremely moderate, also voted for the impeachment of Donald Trump and going after him. But according to Fox News, more than 60 Republican lawmakers in the state of Utah are pushing to end Mitt Romney by Utah State House Speaker Brad Wilson, who says they are taking the first steps to challenge Romney in the Senate Exploratory Committee starting in April moving forward. The weeding out, the figuring out of what this party actually stands for, trying to bring some fresh young voices, fresh young faces to the Republican Party, which is desperately needed because, let's be honest, the Democrats have dominated the younger generation, which is why you're not allowed to smoke a cigarette or drink a beer until the age of 21, but you can vote at the age of 18, which they're trying to lower to the age of 16. Because you're not responsible to actually be an adult, but you can go ahead and vote because you're totally responsible for something like that. The Democrats have been trying to change their tone slightly by trying to be more moderate. I take that back. They're going back to the messaging where they pretend to be more moderate, but they had the AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the socialist types that are sitting in the realm in the back seat, but not in the front seat, actually being the face of the party. The governor of Kentucky, the same place where Mitch McConnell was speaking just a few days ago, the Democrat governor of Kentucky, a Democrat, was trying to appeal to Republicans and actually doing a statewide campaign trying to reach out to Republican voters saying, we want to hold hands, sing kumbaya, bring everybody together, and we're going to do it on the grounds of common sense and compromise for everybody by boosting up infrastructure and working on social programs to help those that are in need. And I was thinking to myself, do we really know exactly what Republicans stand for? Because I'm pretty sure that government shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure that we believe in limited government. I don't want to raise my taxes and more government spending. Let's actually let the private sector handle a lot of these issues. So they don't even understand their own mindset while they try to appeal to us. But they are going back to the we're for the working class and we're for the people, while they're really not. Because the Sanders and the AOC types are behind the scenes saying, yeah, that's not going to fly.
It is totally absurd.
It really kind of totally is absurd. But the Republicans have some work to do trying to reach out to that younger generation. Now, as mentioned, as they grow up, they're starting to recognize, oh, wow, socialism doesn't quite work. Oh, wow, the housing market's a little bit expensive. Oh, wow, I can't really get a job, and I'm going to continue to live in my parents' basement. Oh, wow, I'm not going to expand because everything's too darn expensive, thanks to the Democrats. But it's our goal to show that. Finally, the Republican Party's priorities have changed slightly, as I mentioned in the past hour, as at the latest poll from My Generation and Younger say that the economy is less of the priority for them, and it's more of the social issues. Combating face-to-face with the abortion issue or the LGBTQ issue and trying to change the branding of the Republicans to a degree, while they try to hold up Republican values and say that that's the priority that we need to focus on. And I warned that if we do that, which I think is important because we can't just ignore it and put the blinders on and walk away from it, we also can't look like the desperate hypocrites just trying to address the issue for the sake of addressing it. Prime example would be the Democrat side with Eric Adams, the mayor of New York right now, going after the migrant issue by saying, New York's awesome. We're super progressive. We love taxing everybody. It's really expensive to be here. Come on out to the Big Apple, the greatest place on the face of the earth. But we really don't want you migrants coming out here because you're a strain on the system.
Well, think about what happened in the last few months. We have created a funnel. All of the bordering states have now took the funnel right to New York City. New York City is the economic engine of this entire state and country. Mm. If you decimate this city, you're going to decimate the foundation of what's happening. Look at Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, and now you're hearing the governor of Massachusetts. And so when people say, well, they have, we gave them $100 million, $12 billion bill?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we dining at?
When you see all the people that are just laying in the streets, you walk by, it is jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
And the numbers keep coming and coming when you think there's I don't have any more room at the end, so to speak,
along with the unhoused people we already have here.
Exactly. And think about the miracle that took place over the last year in April when this really started coming from a governor who wanted to use people as pawns.
Wow, that was the CBS Morning Show just a day or so ago. Did I hear that right? There's no more room at the end, can't come here any longer. That's a great PR campaign tactic to try and bring people into the New York City area from Eric Adams. So let me get this straight. The guy who's advocating for open borders, who likes the Biden policy for open borders, who loves the open border idea of we can't turn anybody away, you know, we have the Statue of Liberty here, bring in your sick, bring in your poor, bring in everybody here, just willy-nilly, we can't just vet them or screen them in any way, we just have to bring them in. You can bring them in, just don't come here. And again, let me get this straight. The city that is one of the largest cities in the entire nation, the city that has really a multi-billion dollar budget every single year because how big they are, the one that parades themselves on social programs, the one that parades themselves on going after law enforcement, the one that parades themselves on all these progressive values are saying, hey, we're super awesome, but even our awesome system can't absorb the amount of migrants that's here. Let me ask you a simple question. If New York City, one of the largest cities on the face of the earth, especially in the United States, that has a massive multi-billion dollar budget and massive social programs from Democrats that are running the place, if they can't absorb the hundred thousands of migrants coming across the border that we're sending to them, how in the world are smaller towns across the nation, especially at the southern border, supposed to do so? Makes you think a little bit. But if they can't absorb it, who the hell's going to? But No, we are the breadbasket of the economy. Don't strain us and don't try to put things onto us because we can't handle it anymore. In other words, hey, migrants, we don't really don't want to sound racist, but we really don't want you here. Go somewhere else. We like the people that can afford the $5,000 to $10,000 a month rent in the place. Got to take a break. It's the Todd Sarnes radio program. Lots more to get to right around the corner. Stay here. Sarnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Sarnes today. 844-747-8868. The future of the Republican Party is in the hands of some generation. Right now, it's probably the wrong generation, but we are moving in the right direction little by little, I think. When you have someone that literally has an aneurysm or a stroke or whatever the heck happened to Mitch McConnell just a few weeks ago during the press conference, probably not the best person to be in charge of the Republicans in the Senate. We should probably have someone different. I don't know. I'm just throwing that idea out there. At the same time, it is funny watching it on the other side as Joe Biden continues to just not know what he's talking about or what his name is half the time. Dianne Feinstein at 90 years old, still there, just rambling on. Then like, okay, no, just say hi. This is a roll call. Say you're here. But of course, no, I'm just going to go off on my own tangent on why I'm supporting whatever bill that they were discussing at the time. It is good and optimistic that we're seeing conservatives finally start focusing on that younger generation. Now, I'm not just talking about the millennials like me. I'm talking about the younger ones even before that. The theory is that the younger generation going through high school now, is that Gen Z? What is that one? I don't know what that one is now. I forget which generations they are. Supposedly are more conservative than those from World War II and the Great Generation. Probably because they see my generation like, wow, you guys are nuts, man. We have no clue what you're doing and what's going on with your generation. So we're going to kind of recorrect things a little bit. So if we can get over this speed bump that is a little bit of my generation of the lunacy, we can slowly get things back on track, which makes sense when you talk about the generational issue of the hard workers, the hard men create the good times. The good times create the weak men create the hard people create it's the good cycle that goes on. They're going to be the hard workers that get us back into a good situation if we don't screw it up too badly before them. We have a lot of optimism, and now that we're working on focusing on school boards across the nation, and we're trying to focus on city councils and state legislative seats and trying to bring that power back to that local level, I'm optimistic of what we can do in the future and where we can go as a Republican Party and get some of these rhinos that fight against our own agenda the heck out of there. Rebecca Terrell with The New American coming up right around the corner for the final home stretch of the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program on the home stretch, baby. Last 30 minutes of the program. It's flown right on by so much. Again, Todd, appreciate so much the opportunity to be able to fill in, have some fun, do the thing here on the program. Andy Hoosier filling in 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868, as we are hanging out in the Liberty University studios here, moving it to Wichita, Kansas for the day. I don't want to waste any time. I'm going to bring this next guest on the show with us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. She is a regular guest on my radio program. I absolutely love having her on because, as you know, investigative journalism's like almost dead. There's not a lot of people that do that, especially in the mainstream media right now, where they just run with everything. We heard Donald Trump was like a meanie head yesterday, and that's what they run, and that's their proof positive. Well, we said it, so therefore it must be true. Now, there's actual investigations going on and trying to figure out what's happening in the world and trying to expose and at least let people know about that. And she's one of them. She is a contributor to The New American, senior editor as well. Excited to have on the program Rebecca Terrell with us here. Rebecca, how are you today?
Doing great, Andy. It's nice to talk with you again.
Oh, it's so good to chat with you. I love talking to you every time. I know that you've been working on a piece focusing on COVID as we still try and do the 2020 hindsight investigations to see what the heck happened during the pandemic. And the latest news that we've heard of some biolabs coming out of California in some really bad conditions, but apparently they're not just running solo. They have a lot of connections. What's going on right now?
There are quite a few connections, very interesting connections. And I think it's interesting, too, that it took the California code enforcement uncovering this. They saw some type of a garden hose going through a hole in the outside wall of a building. They said, that doesn't seem up to code. So they investigated it. And the long story short, this is a Chinese-run biolab in California, unlicensed. One of its executives told investigators that the hundreds of lab mice that were within the building were being genetically engineered to catch and carry and spread the COVID virus, coronavirus. So, and there's just so much more. There were just rooms full of refrigerators that some of them were working, some of them weren't. And they contained biological samples, bodily fluids, samples of pathogens. The CDC was actually involved in this investigation and tested all of these things and confirmed that there were things like HIV there and E. coli and hepatitis and herpes and all sorts of dangerous pathogens. And all of the executives involved with this biolab all have connections, are all executives of a supplier of this lab, a pharmaceutical supplier over in China. So wow. Isn't this interesting? And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, this lab is actually in his home district out in California. He was out there last week or about a week ago or so and announcing that, he's going to shine a congressional spotlight on this. And he voiced concern then, could this be just the tip of the iceberg? Could there be a lot of these? I think it might be a little bit naive to assume that this is a one-off, don't you?
I would think so. And it sounds like it's totally on the up and up with how wonderful all the amenities were there with even refrigerators that don't work. So Let's go back to the basics here with the COVID-19 pandemic. We were told by the great Dr. Anthony Fauci, who didn't align with science, but was science. Remember, if we contradicted Fauci, we contradicted science.
Well, he told us that.
That's right. He is science. And he told us that we essentially had a COVID-19 pandemic that started with essentially an Ozzy Osbourne situation with people biting into bats. And that's how we saw a global pandemic that was the COVID-19 pandemic. It had nothing to do with biolabs. We definitely didn't have any connection to biolabs. Nothing was, again, don't the droid you're looking for. That was the situation that we were told. It sounds like now it wasn't just the one in Wuhan lab, but there's labs even in the U.S. where they were working to try and spread this stuff all over the place.
Well, you know what? I want to point out, too, and this is kind of shining the light on ourselves. You remember when Russia invaded Ukraine and all of a sudden Victoria Nuland, who is, you know, one of the, oh, I can't remember her title right now, but you know who I'm talking about. She has given a lot of congressional testimony. She started expressing, she's an agent of the government, the U.S. government, and she started expressing grave concern over the Russians getting a hold of some of our bio lab materials over there. Oh, no, they're not bioweapons labs. They're just, we conduct that research over there in Ukraine to detect and prevent pandemics. That was the official line, but she was very, very concerned. And it came out later that, well, some of those biolabs contain specimens from the old Cold War days, the old Soviet Union days. Really? Yeah. So, you know, to assume that this, to close our eyes to the fact that this doesn't go on and we're not involved in it too, is ridiculous, right? I've outlined too, you know, I've written about this story at thenewamerican.com, and I tried to go through and just go, just this year, look at all the Chinese espionage that we've seen. In January, it started with the ridiculous spy balloon. What a fiasco of that.
We continue to just ignore it. We ignore China and let them do whatever the heck they want to. I mean, we lie about our connection to a Wuhan lab or any type of bio lab in China, or apparently ones that are being run here in the United States. We lie about balloons where, oh, we don't know what. We'll just let it go across the nation, do its job. Then we'll shoot it down. Then we'll give it back to them when they ask for it, because why the heck not? But we'll shoot down some kid's drone that's floating up above the sky with a fighter jet, because that makes all the sense in the world. It seems like we're lying nonstop. I mean, it reminds me of Fauci again when he was testifying, saying we weren't doing any type of gain of function. But yet, Rebecca, right, I seem to remember right now, if we're teaching mice how to spread this all around by implementing the COVID virus into mice, that would be gain of function, figuring out how to get it from animal to human, isn't it?
Well, that would be what you and I would call gain of function. I'm not sure what he rationalizes that term to mean in his mind. I've never actually spoken with him, but no, you're exactly right. And two, we have to consider the congressional investigations, James Comer's investigations into our own White House occupants' links to China right now. And how does all of that factor in? But it hasn't just started with the Bidens. Think about it. It was Richard Nixon back in 1972, the first U.S. president to ever go and meet with Mao Zedong, the Chinese who had taken over China and murdered so many countless numbers of his own countrymen in that communist takeover of that nation. And yet Richard Nixon goes over there smiling, all happy in front of the cameras, shaking his hand, making nice, and gains most favored nation trading status. And now we're in a situation where China practically owns the United States. I mean, how much farmland? We know it has come out recently, back in February when there was that city council in North Dakota, and there was an expose that a Chinese-linked agricultural product was getting set up right next to a U.S. military drone base. And the city council, good for them, put the skids on it. And we need to understand, too, our county sheriffs, our city councils are empowered to put up a stone wall against all of these federal mandates that are coming out that are completely, that violate the Constitution. They not only have that responsibility and duty, they have that power to stop federal mandates from affecting the constituents within their jurisdiction. Every single county sheriff has that power. All of our city and county commissions have that power. And so they did. They stopped that But it highlighted the fact that more than 380,000 acres of American land already belong to Chinese investor control. Aside from all of the things that also are controlled by China, even if they aren't owned by China, take the case in point, the Port of Los Angeles, the most busy port in our country. And it isn't, it is owned by the city of Los Angeles, but it is controlled by a Chinese Communist Party operated company called Costco. It is long-term lease agreements that leave China in control of the Los Angeles port. Same goes for the both ends of the Panama Canal, which of course our own President Jimmy Carter handed over. We owned that, and we handed that over to Panama, which has in turn handed control effectively of it to the Chinese Communist Party.
That is very concerning.
It's very concerning. It's very, we're not in a happy place right now.
No,
especially
not at all.
And we haven't even talked about national debt, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue that needs to be a priority for us as well. We're talking with Rebecca Terrell, author and writer for The New American, thenewamerican.com. Go and check out the website with all her writings. Why is this just coming to light now? Why are we all of a sudden focusing on this and many Republicans being like, oh, this, we need to do this? Like you said, limiting the purchasing land from foreign entities like China and other places. This has been going on for a while. Did we just not pay attention to it? Did we just not care? Or is it a political stunt of all of a sudden now this is a major crisis and we need to address this?
I don't think a lot of people are. I don't think major media is shining very much of a real light on this, except the one-off stories here and there that are here today, gone tomorrow. But I do think, and I'm not glad that COVID happened, don't get me wrong, but I do think that there is a silver lining to that very dark cloud, that it did wake people up. And it's starting to give people slightly longer memories, you know, of saying, wait a minute, what's been going on here? And all of these people, like those of us at the New American, who they before would accuse of being, oh, they're just conspiratorial theorists, they are now going, wait a minute. I think some of those conspiracy theories were actually true. And so, in that respect, more people are waking up. The question is it too late? Right now, it is not too late because we do still have our Constitution. Now, it is, for the most part, ignored by many of our elected officials, certainly many bureaucratic officials. But the fact, like I said, I'll just go back to and emphasize, we must have constitutional sheriffs across the land. If we do, our country is saved. And we still do have that constitution. By the way, Mark Meckler's Convention of States, they're trying to call a constitutional convention to pitch our constitution and put a new one in. We know that. They just had a mock constitutional convention in Williamsburg a couple of weekends ago.
This
is real. There are threats.
There are threats. There's a lot of things that we can do. Absolutely. We've got just a couple minutes here as we wrap up with Rebecca Terrell, thenewamerican.com. But you touched on it, on what we can do to address this issue. Obviously, focusing on a lot of law enforcement. I would take that even to the point of focusing on attorney generals and some of the head legal minds in states as well, because we know George Soros and some of that money's flooding into those, trying to change the court systems and how people are actually being punished and some of the crimes that are going on, just getting rid of crime altogether. Apparently in California, you can steal $900 worth of goods and just walk away without anything happening to you. But like you said, the silver lining was waking people up. And I think that that's what's going to get us out of this mess, is people running for those school boards, running for those city councils, being involved more so at that local level, and realizing that during COVID, it was that wake up call of how much that local authority actually had over you that you didn't realize.
That's right. And you bring up something good. Well, look at how George Soros is approaching it. He's approaching it on the local level because he knows that's where the power is. And we need to wake up and realize that too. We're not just, you think you're just one little person, what can I do? You can do a lot because of the way our Constitution was framed, because of the foresight of our founders. They set it up this way for the power to be at the local level. And localities tell the state what to do. States tell the federal government what to do. Right now, that's a demonic inversion. We have the federal government as the Lord over all, telling everybody what to do. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And we need to get that mentality of the nanny state out of our minds. We need to wake ourselves up. Hey, we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And that takes responsibility. It takes, you can't want the lazy, easy way out.
Yeah, I completely agree. Nope, you're absolutely right. It is that local level, and you're right. We're supposed to have a concept called federalism, and right now we've seemed to have forgotten what that is. Most people don't even know what that is anymore, and yes, they like to use the supremacy clause, but that fails in comparison to what federalism is supposed to be, bringing that power back to the states and back down to that local level as well. We can make that change and do something about it. It's Rebecca Terrell of TheNewAmerican.com. Go and check it out. She is a wonderful journalist. Go and check out all her great work and all the stuff that's going on. And be aware of what the heck's happening around you. Rebecca, it's so good to talk to you, my friend. We got to do it again real soon.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You as well. Always a pleasure. All right, right back after this here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome back into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, I want to tell you about MyPillow. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, which I have mine, absolutely love it. Mike Lindell with MyPillow is now launching the MyPillow 2.0. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything that you could really ever want. And now, 20 years later, he's discovered some new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable feel of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners right here on Todd Starnes, the MyPillow 2.0 is buying buy one, get one offer with the promo code STARNES. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the U.S. of A and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. But you don't have to worry about that. You're going to absolutely love it. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square to get the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillow 2.0 right now. The MyPillow 2.0, I love it. I love it. The temperature regulating, I get migraines and headaches quite a bit, and the regulating temperature thing really helps because the back of my head gets really hot and I got to cool it down. Not because I'm a hothead, but, you know, just because. Welcome in, MyPillow.com. Go and check it out. Use the promo code STARNES. We have way little time left on the program. It's been so much fun to fill in. If you want to jump on the last minute or two, you can at 844-747-8868. And thanks again to Rebecca Terrell coming on the program, contributor to The New American and TheNewAmerican.com. Go and watch them. And it is pretty concerning, again, the political outrage, the faux political outrage of many on both sides of the aisle when there's an issue, and then all of a sudden, I've been fighting this for years, and we're going to do something about it right now, when we realize it's been going on forever. Whether it's China buying up massive amounts of land, or whether it is some bio lab that has refrigerators running out, whether it's electrical issues, whether it's like a hole in the wall in this bio lab of them trying to do gain of function, which is what Dr. Fauci, who is science, remember, he wasn't supporting science. He wasn't aligning himself with science. He wasn't backing science. He is science, which begs to differ. If he retired now, does that mean that science officially retired too? Are we done with science? Just, it's out the window. I mean, it is for progressives. You want to know how many research studies are done now in the universities? They're not done on the original. Remember taking science class back in middle school and high school, and they told you the proper scientific method, which is have a hypothesis about something, have a theory about the direction it will go, and then you set up a study, and then you see if it goes that way. And then you write about it on whether, yeah, it aligned with the way I thought it was going to, or no, totally blew my mind, went a different direction. Oh my gosh, totally new. Let's go and take this to the news. That's how the scientific method was supposed to be. Nowadays, the scientific method is the government coming to a university saying, hey, I need a study that says this is the outcome. Craft it however you need. Formulate any type of barriers that you have with it. Do whatever you got to do to make that the focal point to where at the end of it, we say this is the conclusion by the studies from the universities because we're the really, really smart people. So they do it. They pay them. They do the grants. They do the study. And voila, they come out with it. So now government can turn around and say, look at that. The study shows and proves our case for this agenda. It totally means the government needs to be more involved in your daily life. What a world we live in. I got to say, even though with all the craziness, try to enjoy it because we are living in monumental times right now. And it's always a pleasure to do so, to fill in right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. I think we had fun today, didn't you?
Winning.
That's what it's all about. Andy Hoosier filling in. Thanks again, Todd. Have fun. Go check out Todd Starnes on Newsmax tonight at 10 p.m. for Greg Kelly. We'll see you then.